sing, put on the garments of praise, sing in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Amen. I think that's the wrong one, isn't it? That's the right one. The garments of praise. Garments of praise, what it does for you.
Amen.
Did you ever feel like you were felt beat and defeated and take 2 minutes and put your hands up?
Amen.
Just defy gravity.
Amen.
Put your hands up and say, thank you Lord Jesus for saving me.
Amen.
Thank you Lord for delivering me.
Amen.
Thank you for your salvation.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something that'll make you feel better.
Amen.
If you get away on your own sometime and you feel like nobody loves you, nobody cares for you, or you feel like everything's lost and beat and defeated and you feel down, you do that for a few moments. And very soon you could put on the garments of praise. And then you could start praying in the Spirit. And I tell you, it'll do you good. Amen. Let's bow our heads this evening for a moment or two. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your mercy and for your grace, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for that day at Calvary, Lord.
Right.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight that there's an empty tomb.
Amen.
Because you are not dead, but you are alive forevermore.
Right.
Lord, we thank you tonight that you are Almighty God.
Amen.
And there's none like unto thee. There's none that can save, heal, or deliver like you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to exalt thy holy name. Lord, we pray that the garments of praise would come down upon each and every one this evening, Lord. For those that feel the spirit of heaviness, let us lay off the spirit of heaviness this evening, Lord. Let us put on the garments of praise. Let us exalt thy holy name in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Oh, Lord God, I pray that not one word of mine would be heard, but Lord, I pray that every word that's from you and inspired of you tonight, Lord, will sink into our thoughts and into our minds, Lord. Keep your hand upon us, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll find our praise tonight as a sweet smelling savor before you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, bless each and every one tonight. I greet you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one maybe here or tuned in or wherever you may be. And tonight I'm going to try and be quick, straight to the point. I'm going to try and not tick all night. Just a short message, and I pray that the Lord will bless each and every one. The title tonight of this message, if you want to call the title, I'm not maybe great at titles because I mightn't stick to all that, but the message is tonight, this man receiveth sinners. We'll turn in our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 15 and we'll read verses 1, maybe down to verses 7. We'll just read the first two verses and then you may have your seats this evening. Luke chapter 15 and we'll read verses 1 and 2 here to begin with. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You may have your seats tonight. This man receiveth sinners. Why isn't that wonderful? This man receiveth sinners. Why isn't it great that he receives a sinner? The publicans. All these boys here then drew near unto him. All the publicans and sinners. All the scum more or less. All the riffraff as they would say. All the boys that you wouldn't want to keep company with. They drew near to him. It says that they heard him gladly.
Amen.
But you know, all the smart, educated, great-looking characters who could pronounce their words well, who could present their message well, perhaps, who went to their Bible college, who maybe studied under all these great men, they murmured. They said, what sort of a boy is this? If this man was off God, how would he have any company with these boys? But he came into the world for sinners. I thank God he came for the sinner. He came for the unbeliever. To change you to a believer. To transform your life. The word of God says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. There's transforming power tonight in the word of God. It says here, in verses 3, and we'll read on down to verses 7, and it says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it up on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together all his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance. I've wrote down here tonight, you must recognize that you are a sinner before you can be saved. You must recognize. You see here, there's rejoicing in heaven for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who recognizes that they've been struck with a pandemic. It's not COVID, it's called sin. There's a worldwide pandemic and it's called sin. And it came into this world in a place called the Garden of Eden, when a serpent came down and beguiled Eve. And we know what all took place there. And because of that day, you were sentenced to death. Every one of us has got an appointment. The Bible says this is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. It's an appointment that we cannot escape. Now we as believers, we believe that if God comes before our appointed time, we won't die. This old flesh won't die. It'll be caught up into heaven. But if God doesn't come before that appointed time, and God knows each and every one of our appointed times, maybe some of us could live to 100, some of us might, but don't know. You don't know the day or the hour. That is why you must make preparation. You must be prepared. And this man receiveth sinners. He receives you. You don't have to say, oh, I'll take a month or two, it'll take me a day or two, I'll have to figure out, I'll have to get everything right. I couldn't come to God the way I am. The devil will give you every excuse under the sun. The devil will talk you out of it. He'll say to you, you can't do it, but I tell you one thing, he won't get you out of hell. He can't get you out of hell. If you make the decision not to accept this man which receiveth sinners, you're appointed to die. We're all appointed to die, but you're appointed to the second death then also. But you can escape that appointment. You know, this old flesh may be appointed to die, but Paul the Apostle says, for me to die is gain. But if he lives, it's Christ. It doesn't matter what happens. This body may go down into the grave, but you're not dead. Because if you've got eternal life, there's only the one type of eternal life, and that's the eternal kind. And it lasts for eternity. It doesn't die. This old body, you mightn't see it anymore. But I want you to know that you're every much bit alive as you ever were, because your transforming power of God is in you. It says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, what will it do? It'll quicken your mortal body. Make it alive. Regenerate it. Renew it. Transform it. Amen. You may step out of this scene of time, but you know, if you've made preparation, if you have accepted this man which receiveth sinners, you've got an appointed end, and that's not death. eternal life on a mansion. He says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Why, isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful that God, let a prophet of God, see beyond the curtain of time. He let him look into that realm and see. When he went to that place, he seen his old dog that he loved. He seen an old horse that he loved. And he seen his wife that had gone on before, and he seen his daughter that had gone on before. But they were no longer suffering and in pain or in anguish. But in that place it was paradise. Yeah. And the voice of God said to him, all that you ever loved and all that ever loved you is in this place. Do you know, even as simple as, he walked into that place and there was a chair. A chair. Now a silly thing like a chair. A chair that they scrimped and saved to buy, and you know, they got behind in the payments and they come and they lifted the chair. But in that place, that chair was there. Because it was something that he must have loved. It's just as simple as that. So let me assure you tonight that if you have made a decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been transformed, there's a place waiting for you which is much better than this place. No more suffering, no more pain. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. It says here, like I have wrote down here, it said you must recognize that you are a sinner. Tommy touched on it this morning. Last, if we turn our Bibles here this morning or this evening here to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 down to 14, we see these two men that go up into the temple to pray. Verses 9 down to 14, and it says, and he spake this parable unto them. Sorry, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despite others. You see, there's some people and they don't think they need to be saved. Do you know, like Tommy has told the testimony before, but that woman, when he told her that she needed to be saved, she poured the chocolate over his head and said he needed to be saved, but she was all right. You see, if you've got the attitude that you're all right, you're all wrong. The devil will want to lure you into a state of sleep. He'll rock you over to sleep. Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. What happens? When the cradle falls, the baby will drop. You know, when life is over, the time is over, rock-a-bye baby won't do nothing for you then. But the devil will rock you to sleep. He'll say, you're a good little boy. Keep doing whatever you want to do. Live whatever way you want. Don't accept Jesus Christ. But Jesus says, you must accept him. You must be born again.
Amen.
Do you know what I was thinking today? If you're born again, isn't it wonderful? If something's born into this world, it can't be changed. Take, for example, say an animal. If an animal is a purebred Angus or a purebred Hereford, it doesn't matter what you write on the birth certificate. You could call an Angus a Hereford, but it's still an Angus. You could call a Hereford an Angus, but it's still a Hereford, because it's born that way. You know, people today will try and twist that as well. You know, it doesn't matter, but you know, if you're born one thing, that's what you are.
Amen.
And when you're born again. That's what it means.
Amen.
When you've got eternal life, you've got it. No devil in hell can take it away from you. You know, it doesn't matter how you feel about it. What did the psalmist David say? Restore unto me the joy of what? Thy salvation, not his, not no man's. It wasn't in anybody's hands. Thy salvation. He knew it wasn't nothing to do with him, but God was in control because he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen.
Amen.
I shall not want. Amen. He says to here in these men, two men went up, verses 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, an extortionate, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He even had the face on him, as the man says, to condemn the publican standing there. People will condemn you to your face. They'll not have a bit of worry about it. But you know, sometimes Christians is going about on eggshells, tippy-toeing. Oh, watch you don't offend him. Watch you don't offend the wee devil. Pat the wee devil and be good to him. Don't offend him. But the devil will blow smoke straight into your face. He will blow his sin right down your throat. And he will say, I've got a right to do it. But you don't have a right to smash in Jesus Christ. Like these men in the They took them in and they beat them for mentioning the name of Jesus. What would be the spirit behind that today if men don't want to accept the name of Jesus Christ? If men want to build up something else, that's the spirit of man. What about on the Mount of Transfiguration? When the scene, the men, when the scene when God was transformed, Jesus was transformed, and they said, we'll build three temples here. And one of the voices God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You don't need to build a temple to this one or that one or something else. Don't exalt any other man but Jesus Christ. When you exalt him, there's power and authority in that name. There's no power and authority in any other name. What about when the men come down and they met the boy possessed? And they tried to cast him out and he said, Paul, I know, and Peter, I know, but I don't know you. Didn't know the him. But you know, when the other men was operating, they were operating in the name of Jesus Christ. They knew that all right. Amen. This boy here, he stood up and he said, I thank God that I'm not like this boy. People that claim to be Christians will say, oh boy, I wouldn't affiliate with them boys. They believe in that boy Branham. Them boys believe, they don't believe in the Trinity. I couldn't affiliate with them. You know, I was in a meeting one time and the boy got up and he prayed, I pray to the thrice holy God. The thrice holy God. He was a Trinitarian of a Trinitarian. He believed in three gods. He needed three gods. One wasn't good enough for him. But the word of God says, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord.
Amen.
Amen. One Lord and one Savior. You know, people will try to justify themselves. They'll do everything to justify themselves. That's the nature of man. You know, it's the same when maybe even children, they do something wrong. Oh, it wasn't really me. It was him done it. Or it wasn't really him. It was somebody else that done it. That's the way people are. You know, but that won't work. You know what? Well, what did Jesus say to them? He said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. They said to him, what of this man? What of this one and what of that one? That's people's nature, isn't it? You pull them on something, they say, oh, but what about this man or that man or some other man? Don't worry about him.
Amen.
Salvation's a personal experience.
Right.
This man receiveth sinners.
Right.
He doesn't care about your granny or your grandma or your uncle or your nephew. He wants you to accept them.
Amen.
Your daddy's experience, your mommy's experience, or some great uncle, or any man of God's experience won't do for you. You need your own personal
Amen.
Experience.
Amen.
And it's easy to get, because he says, just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved.
Amen.
Call upon him. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. I will answer you. Amen. He'll answer you. Amen. You know, this sore man, he went on here and he says, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. But the old publican, he stood up in verses 13 to 14, and he says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. And that humble and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
You know, sometimes it's hard. Some people find it hard to humble themselves. Some people find it hard to just humble themselves and accept Jesus Christ. Because they'll start to reason it out. But I have been a good boy. I've never done any bad things. You know, some men, they've talked about experiences, you know, when they realised maybe that it was near the end, and they started to think, they thought to themselves, oh, I've been a good boy, and I've been a good girl, but then when they realised when that presence of God came down, you realise that you're not as good as you thought you were. You know, but when you accept Jesus Christ, you're not depending upon how good you are. You must realize that you are a sinner. That's the key thing. You must realize. You see, that's why God said that David was a man after his own heart. Because David committed sin. But he knew how to repent. He knew how to humble himself. He knew how to repent. You know, and we see all through the Bible when men set their face to God to repent and to pray that God had mercy upon them. He loves a repentant heart. That's what he wants. You know, it says in Romans chapter 3 and verses 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Not one man escapes this sentence. All have sinned. Ecclesiastes 7 says, verses 20, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doth not, that doth good and sinneth not. There's not one. We're all born sinners. There's only one man that came who never sinned in his life. And his name was Jesus Christ. But he was no ordinary man, because he had the fullness of the Godhead in him. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
Amen. When that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he was God in flesh. But there's no other man can exalt himself. You see this Pharisee, this boy here. You know, like the boy said one time, they called him a Pharisee because that's as far as I could see. As far as they could see, a Pharisee. Some people can only see as far as they can see. They don't want to know your opinion on the matter. You try to tell some people about different things, they'll maybe say, oh, but our lodge or our denomination, our church wouldn't believe that. Our man sees it this way or that way. That's fair and good. You know, don't get me wrong. There's good people in every organization. There's genuine people everywhere you go. There's people whose hearts are desirely set on that thing. But it doesn't, no, there's nothing wrong with telling them that they're maybe wrong sometimes. You know, it doesn't mean you're always right. Don't go about like a rooster with your chest stuck out thinking you're the only one who knows everything. Because then you'd be like this Pharisee, wouldn't you? Do you know, if you went about all the time, Mr. Know-it-all, I know everything, I've just been great. You could come down to a big sudden thump, couldn't you? But when you tick and bow your head and humble yourself, thank God for what he has showed you. Thank God for what he has done for you. I've wrote down here that Jesus has made a way. He came into the world for sinners. He receiveth sinners gladly. Mark chapter 2, verses 17. What does he say? Mark chapter 2 and verses 17. He says here, we'll read verses 16 as well, and it says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the publicans and the sinners, they said unto the disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
You know, if you feel like you're justified, if you feel like you're all right being a sinner, you can't be saved. You'll not be saved. If you have justified yourself, like these men here, that's what Jesus said. He said to these boys here, he says, they that are whole have no need of a physician. If you don't find a sickness, if you weren't sick, you don't say, "Boy, I must go to the doctor." Well, I better go to the doctor right away. But sure, boy, you're not sick, I'll go anyway. But if you were sick, you might say, "Boy, I don't feel great, I'll maybe go and see the doctor and see what he can give me." Wouldn't you? But if you thought to yourself, people are sick. Now, I don't mean maybe physically, or don't mean in a bad, rude way or anything like that, but it's a sickness called sin. I'm a sick unto death. It's a sickness unto death. It's called sin. And it's a generic thing. It's in your genes. It passes down from generation to generation. You can't skip it. You can't bleach it out. You can't breed it out. You can't manufacture it out. But a sin in you. But there's one that came to make a way. There is a way to get out of it. If you realize the condition you're in, if you realize your condition, you can be saved. But if you do not recognize your condition, you know, a drunkard can't see that he is a drunkard. If a drunkard realized he was a drunkard, he could sort himself out, couldn't he? But there's men that are drunkards and they can't recognize that they are a drunkard. They think they're all right. They think it's all right to come in and not know why they're coming or going, and maybe take a door off on their way in, or take a radiator off, or maybe mess up the house and do things maybe near burn the house down. They think that's okay. The devil has them justified in that state of mind. People think it's okay to suck on a cigarette and blow cancer into their lungs and all the dirt of the day. Yes. And if you ever mention it, there'll always be a case of, oh, my old uncle, he lived, he was 100, why, he smoked every day. Well, that's all right. But if he never repented, he'll go to hell too. Like the boy that didn't smoke and didn't repent. It doesn't matter what you may not do, but you know, when God transforms your life, he'll change it. Like I said one time before, if you took a wee lamb and put him in a pig pen, he won't turn into the pig. He'll still be a lamb. He'll not want to go and eat the slop that the pig eats, because it won't be his taste. But if you take him out and put him into the grass, he'll be happy, won't he? When God changes your taste and changes your life, he changes it for the good. Amen. Changes you for the good, not for the worst, does he? He changes you to help you and to sustain you. You know, but it's like the Bible says, bodily exercise is profit of little. You know, you can do all you like. You know, there's people maybe never does nothing. Like Tommy said, the statistics on it wasn't big difference, was there? A boy maybe sat on the couch his whole life, and a boy done a whole lot. It doesn't matter. There's an appointment. When the appointment's up, that's it. You can do all you want to do, but it's out of your hands. But you can make a decision to change what happens after that. But if you don't make a decision then, that's it, all over. You've no chance of coming back. Like that little man, that boy that sat at the rich man's table, Lazarus, and it says that the dogs licked his sores and he ate the scraps that fell at the rich man's table. He hadn't got, as we would say, 2D. He had nothing. He ate scraps that the dogs would eat. Him and the dogs fought over scraps. But you know that old rich man, he died. And it says that he went down into hell, and looking up, he seen Lazarus there in Abraham's bosom. And he said, just let him come, dip his finger in water and parch me in this place of torment. You see, Lazarus, though he was in that state, he made provision, didn't he? He believed God. But that old boy, it says that he fared sumptuously every day. The Bible says it's very hard for rich man to enter into heaven. It's very hard. Riches doesn't mean nothing, but it's very hard for somebody who feels that they are justified and okay. Once you realize your condition, once you realize that Jesus has made a way, Jesus has made a way, says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came seeking for you and for me. And it's a great day, the day that you recognize that. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8. You know, right away at the start of Ephesians it says, you hath he quickened. Boy, isn't that wonderful? You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit in the world today. I will do my own thing. You will not tell me. I don't believe in God. You know, I'm sure you have seen different people on. Have you ever watched people about near-death experiences, or people maybe that have passed on and have been revived and brought back? They'll tell you a different story. People will tell you of stories when they maybe died, where they went down into a place. And maybe a lot of people talk about maybe seeing a light or seeing something, but they got a chance to come back. But you know, you'll talk to people, well, there's not really much evidence about that, is there? Oh, sure, like who's ever really come back to tell the story? Jesus did. Didn't Jesus die and he rose again to show you that there was a way back? You know, wasn't it wonderful when that tomb that day, they went looking for him and the napkin was there. And like I said before, in that Jewish feast, when they're getting up at the table, they leave the napkin behind to say that they're coming back. He left them a message. Yes. He left the Jewish people there a message to say, I'm coming back. Right. And I want you to know, he's coming back. Yeah. Well, he's not coming back to be no put on no cross again, but he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, you hath he quickened. He has made a way for you. If we read on down here, if we go to verses 8 and verses 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not a thing you can do. Nothing that you can do. Not of any great works. You know, there's people striving for works every day of the week, isn't there? There's people striving. They believe if they do good and they do this and do that, and there's no harm in being good. You know, I don't think if you're a born-again Christian, you're going to want to do bad. It wouldn't be the nature in you, would it? If you seen somebody needing something, would you say, we're going to lay that by there to that? Would you not say, maybe take a minute or two and help him or something? Would that not be the nature in you? But you know, you could do all the good that you ever wanted. You know, you could put out the neighbour's bin, as it were, and do all these things and be so nice and good, but you could be damned and find yourself in hell because you didn't accept the simple gospel message. You must be born again. It's a must. It's not a maybe or an if, it's a must. A must. Amen. He says here, verses 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, like I said back there, them old publicans and them wise, you know, the publican and the sinners, he went into the temple and he didn't even hardly lift his head up. But he prayed, and God, it says, Jesus says, that man went out justified. But that old Pharisee, he went in and he started to tell God about how good he was. And how much he had helped out and how what he had done. He had done it all. Like Tommy said this morning, some people believe they don't need Jesus anymore. They're so greatly, have so great of a revelation they can get round Jesus Christ and the cross. There's no revelation will take you that road, only Satan's revelation. The revelation of the devil will tell you you don't need the cross. The revelation of Satan will tell you you don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. He will tell you you're justified the way you are. You're okay. Keep going down that road. But I want you to know, you must be born again. It's a must. And I want you to know, this man receiveth sinners. There's an open invitation tonight. The door's open. I've wrote down now why we must be saved or born again. Romans 6 and verses 23. There's a reward for sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's only one door. There's only one way in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. So if you live your whole life in a state of your own justification, if you live your whole life trying to be a good girl or a good boy, or maybe not even trying to be that, but living whatever way you like, and you never ever make a decision, come payday. That's the day when the appointed time has come. That's your payday. You're going to receive a wage. When payday comes, you will receive a wage. And the wages of sin is death. There's no way around it. But I want you to know it says here that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, you didn't even have to work to get it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There's a gift this morning or this evening. Amen. There's a gift. It's free. You know, some like any other thing you ever hear is free. There's always a catch, but there's no catch with the gospel. There may be a catch if you go to an organization. Some organizations will claim everything's free, and then when you get in here, boy, you may join this club and join that club, and we'll need this or we'll need that and something else. But you know, the gift of God is free. Costs nothing. It's as simple as bowing your head. You know, remember my dad told his testimony about going down into an orchard where pigs had been eaten, and he got down on his knees in the gutters, and he prayed that the Lord would save him. God worked upon him. He couldn't sleep at night. He was up at night, he was down at night. My grandfather took him to the doctor and they said, as far as we can see, this boy's healthy and strong, there's nothing wrong with him. But every night he was tormented, he couldn't get any peace. God, thank God he was working upon him. Thank the Lord he was working upon him. But you know, when he bowed his knee, there was a peace. People are searching for something. There's something in man's thriving. Everybody's looking for something in there. People try and find, maybe escape in different vices. People, this generation, there's a lot of drugs. My wife, she works in the toxicology labs in the Royal, and she says, like, there's one of the men down there come up out of the morgue and said he would love to bring some teenagers down to that place and let them see the amount of teenagers in there from drugs, overdosing and different things. People are searching for something. But I want you to know tonight, don't search anymore. This is something you've been searching for. The name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will transform your life.
Amen.
He will take away any addiction. He can break addictions. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The devil will want to put a yoke upon you. You know, did you ever see a yoke? Where the old oxen, maybe they get the oxen and they get the wood and they cut it out and they put it over their shoulders and then they hook up a weight and handle it. Or maybe people years ago had a yoke they could put on their neck. You can take a bucket on each side. The devil will want to put a yoke and fill the two buckets full of lead. He'll weigh you to hell. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And you know something else? The anointing will break the yoke.
Amen.
The anointing of God will break the addiction. The anointing of God will break the yoke of bondage upon you. The anointing breaks the yoke. Why we must be saved or born again. For the wages of sin is death. I want you to know there's a reward for it tonight. It's like when you work all week or when you work all month, whatever way your pay salary works, you're waiting for a wage. You worked for a wage. But you know, if you never accept Jesus Christ, you've worked your whole life for a wage of death. That's the just reward at the end of it all. It's a sad scene at the end of that day. But you know, Jesus Christ has brought a gift. And it's for you. You know, I've wrote down, God has made a way for us all. Romans 5 and verses 8. But God, isn't that wonderful? But God. All this here, but God, commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen.
It didn't say that one day you decided to get yourself straightened out and sorted out, and then he died for you, but while you were yet sinners. And this, see this wee marker, it says on this wee marker, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, sometimes that people maybe say that many times, they don't maybe get the words that's in it. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He loves you tonight. And he gave his only begotten Son for you. There's a way out tonight. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for good wee boy or bad wee boy. He died for sinners. That covers it all. Doesn't matter how justified you feel or unjustified. Christ died for you. He died for me. He took your place. Let's stand our feet tonight and we'll pray before our pastor comes. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this promise in your word, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that day that we accepted you as our own and personal Savior. Lord, I pray for any, Lord, that may hear this message tonight or any time, Lord, I pray you'll give them deciding grace, Lord. Lord, I pray that the lying voice of the enemy that would speak in their ear to hold them back or stop them, Lord, I pray you'll shut that voice up now in Jesus' name. Let them hear the still small voice of the Savior. Let them hear your loving voice call them onto you. Lord, I pray that you'll give them deciding grace, Lord. Save sinners, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heal those that need a touch in their body tonight, Lord. For all those that come this morning for prayer, I pray, Lord, that you'll undertake and meet that need, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'll give comfort, that you'll give strength, Lord. Lord, we speak to every vessel of the body that may not be right at this time, and we say, be right in Jesus' name. We speak to skin and say, come as normal again in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to every situation now, not in our own strength and in our own name, but in the name that you have set far above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare it and proclaim it tonight in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll let your blessing abide upon us, Lord. Keep your hand upon us in the days that lie ahead. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening, and we thank God for the message. Isn't it great that it was said of Jesus, this man receiveth sinners. Paul the Apostle said, of sinners whom I was the chief. But God saved him. And not only did he save him, he used him. And he mightily used him, praise God. The Lord bless you. We're going to meet again Thursday night, the Lord willing, this Thursday night. I'm not sure about the following one. I'll have to check whether the hall's available. But we'll meet this Thursday night, as normal, for a prayer and Bible study. And the Lord bless each one. Next Sunday morning, Brother Ian will be preaching, and I'll be preaching in the evening. The following week, it'll be our Brother Gary and our Brother John, and our Brother Mark will do the midweeks if we can get the hall. And if there's any changes, see Brother Mark. If any brothers can't do it or anything comes up, just see our Brother Mark and he can rearrange it. And the Lord bless each one. So we'll see you Thursday night, the Lord willing, next Sunday, the Lord willing. The Lord is willing.
Amen.
He is willing. We say the Lord willing, but he's always willing.
Amen.
But he might come before it.
Amen.
He could come at any moment. God bless you, Brother Guy. God bless each one. God bless Brother Samuel.
Praise God. Let's sing that little hymn, Come to the Saviour, Make No Delay. Hearing his word, he has shown us the way. Amen. Just for that wee announcement, maybe there'll be some people that couldn't be, or Brother Mark couldn't make it this evening. His heart broke down. But anybody else, maybe listening online. Next Sunday morning, we're going to lift a love offering for Brother Tommy, pastor, him in charge, heading away to visit Sean's family next week, I believe it is. So, just for a little offering to help him along the way, and we trust to have a good time while they're away. Let us sing this saying, Come to the Saviour, make no delay. Come.